The Guardian.
This was your final week in the show. How are you feeling?
It was my final week, but I have to say that it was the right decision for me to go in this week. You know, you'll have seen that I had a bit of a wobble when I wasn't sure if I was really the right person for the job. And that came from the very difficult car task of selling, when my confidence really was probably at the lowest. And also when I got out to the offices, they're very remote and they're very Spartan and also much smaller than what I was anticipating. And I suddenly thought, am I going to be able to fit in this corporation? And the answer which both, you know, the interviewers came up with and myself was no.
And I think of all the candidates this year, you probably came on the most. You had a very rocky start and people were really nasty to you. Both Jennies, Hélène, very nasty, but you really turned it around. What was it like being in the house with all of these people?
It was, for a better word, shocking. How I treat business and also individuals is I don't think you need to be a bitch at any stance, especially within business. And if you need to belittle and degrade other people for your own gain, then there's something wrong. Either you haven't got the appropriate business skills or you've got something lacking in your personality. I wouldn't entertain the bitchingness with them, and I think that was possibly one of the reasons why they turned on me, because I wasn't in a group to defend myself. It was a struggle, however, I'd hope that, you know, I did put up a good fight without being rude or unpleasant, and I hope that I've given other people who have had difficult times in the office, you know, different means and ways of thinking and dealing with it, and also probably raised awarenesses in offices of what can go on.
I think that a number of viewers this year have kind of got this feeling that TV is prone to eat itself. And after, say, three series of Big Brother, you've got people who are going on there who know what the show is about and they know there are cameras there. This season, it seemed that people may not be the smartest and the brightest people that would be available. And they're there for TV reasons. And the programme is also being made more for entertainment. And people aren't being cut based on business skills, but rather on personalities.
I had never seen an episode of The Apprentice before. I didn't have a telly for 5 years prior to that. And I was assured when both friends and colleagues and also by the editors and the producers that it was a business programme. I would say that there's probably some founding in what you say. However, everyone has to have a certain skill to be able to get on there. In my position, I was actually earning more than they were offering for the job, and also I've worked in a variety of businesses, risk, compliance, legal, actuarial, you know, accountancy, audit, and had purely gone on for the business side. So I think that's the biggest shock for me, is that when certain events were happening in the house and sort of, dare I say, sort of gang mentality, I was flummoxed, and also lying in the boardroom. I think there's a shot when on the computers when I go in, and Sir Alan said to Hélène, why did you put her in front of technology? And she blatantly lied and said, I hadn't said. I couldn't believe that someone could do such a barefaced lie and that other people weren't supporting me. So I don't think I'm in a position to say whether or not they're picking people on in terms of personality, but that certainly wasn't my objective. But viewers are there to make up their own mind.
So why did you go on the show then?
I thought it was a real business opportunity, and that to be part of Sir Alan's corporation would give scope and opportunity to develop in other areas which, you know, I hadn't encountered. And also that being in such a big organisation, there'd be the scope to move around and really learn what it'd be like and to make a success and to benefit Sir Alan as he would me.
See, but everyone says this argument about working for Sir Alan and you know, what a privilege it would be. But the reality is, of course, that you're going to be working in Essex in a fairly nasty industrial estate, probably. Amstrad made computers. That's not the main business these days at all. And Alan Sugar is mostly a property mogul these days. Is it really that exciting to take this, to be working for Alan Sugar?
I would say yes, in terms of the opportunity it could afford, because he's obviously got a portfolio of property, and also alongside that he'd be looking at investments. Also a very strong arm of his is charity work. Again, and it's important to identify the right charities and know where the money's being channeled and support. However, I wasn't aware of where the offices were based and also what the offices would be like, which was a big turning point for me, because, you know, I think it's important to have a very varied life and to be able to nip out in lunch hour and, you know, to be able to get away from the office. And I didn't think that was would happen. And that was, you know, one of the reasons why I was starting to and really question of whether or not I'd fit into his corporation.
Back to the programme slightly. Nick and Margaret have been probably the stars of this this show, apart from yourself. What's their involvement week to week?
Nick and Margaret pop up, and they're not obviously on all the tasks all the time because it wouldn't be humanly possible. They've got lives to lead. I would say that it was an absolute pleasure, especially having Margaret about. She didn't interfere. She got on and was a very comforting aspect to have about, and also you can tell that she's very astute and would report back fairly. Nick also, probably slightly more dire to have around. However, obviously, again, very worthy to have him there and also to report back. In terms of being stars, I'd say so. Very funny quips and also very astute. And at times in the boardroom, they gave me a lot of support, especially when the others were putting me down. So I have great respect for both of them.
Of the other housemates that you had, you've mentioned Rafe, who you quite liked. Are you still in touch with any of these people? Would you ever see them if you weren't thrown together with them in this incredibly artificial relationship?
Absolutely. Simon was a delight, and I spent a lot of time with Simon. And I think as the series went on, those who I was closest to, you know, were removed from the house. And that made it, you know, even worse. So that in the last sort of two or three series, especially the tissues in the cast, there's very few people who I could turn to and have the same conversation just about, you know, what's going on and just to justify of what was going on. Sarah, again, really lovely lady and had a very tough time in there. And there was quite a few others who, you know, I thoroughly did enjoy and would meet up with.
Not Sophocles?
He wouldn't be the first one to jump to mind.
And not Alex either?
He wouldn't be the second one to jump to mind.
Jenny and Jenny?
Now you're being wicked. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
And does Rafe really wear a dressing gown all the time?
Not all the time. Not when he's wearing his suit and his cravat, but most of the time.
Let me just ask a question about the cameras, and I suppose it gets to a stage where you probably don't notice anything that you've got a cameraman behind you. You know, it's not hidden cameras like Big Brother, but it's very well produced, this program. Are you given any direction? Do they say do that again, only a bit more exciting? How conscious are you of the cameras and the production techniques throughout the whole process?
From me going onto the Apprentice, I wasn't there to be in front of the camera. I think that's very apparent from sort of the first three or four tasks when we're in the background. I do need to shout and voice my opinion to get noticed. I think that's maybe what some of the other candidates were there for. And you do become numb. You're so involved with the task. There's so much going on, and there's so many people around you that, you know, the odd camera being poached in your face, you just tend to push it away. So you do actually just learn to live alongside them. And, you know, you get to know the cameraman behind it, so you just don't really notice.
So would you do it all again?
I think that once is enough for anyone in the majority of things you do in life. So I wouldn't go back and do it again, but I don't regret doing the experience.
And what's next for you? Are you going to be a TV star?
I don't know. I mean, I would love to do presenting. I have to say, from being on the other side, I've been in finance now for, you know, well over 10 years, and I would like to do something more creative. But I love the radio, so, you know, if I was given the opportunity to do presenting, I certainly, depending on what it was, you know, I would jump at the opportunity.
The Guardian's Business Podcast, perhaps.
Oh, that would be brilliant. That would be fantastic.
Should we end there? Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, I have to say that The Guardian's the newspaper of choice for me, and I thoroughly enjoy reading it, so I'm really pleased to have done this interview with you, Ben. Thank you.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.